Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Judges chapter 12. Judges chapter 12, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said unto Jephthah, Wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon, and didst not call us to go with thee? We will burn thine house upon thee with fire. And Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon, and when I called you, ye delivered me not out of their hands. And when I saw that ye delivered me not, I put my life in my hands and passed over against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hand. Wherefore, then, are ye come up unto me this day to fight against me? Then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim, and the men of Gilead smote Ephraim, because they said, Ye Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites. And the Gileadites took the passages of Jordan before the Ephraimites, and it was so that when those Ephraimites which were escaped said, Let me go over, that the men of Gilead said unto him, Art thou an Ephraimite? If he said, Nay, then said they unto him, Say now, Shibboleth. And he said, Sibboleth, for he could not frame to pronounce it right. Then they took him and slew him at the passages of Jordan. And there fell at that time of the Ephraimites 42,000. And Jephthah judged Israel 6 years. Then died Jephthah the Gileadite and was buried in one of the cities of Gilead. And after him, Ibzan of Bethlehem judged Israel. And he had 30 sons and 30 daughters, whom he sent abroad and took in 30 daughters from abroad for his sons. And he judged Israel 7 years. Then died Ibzan and was buried at Bethlehem. And after him, Elon, a Zebulunite, judged Israel. And he judged Israel 10 years. And Elon, the Zebulunite, died and was buried in Aijalon in the country of Zebulun. And after him, Abdon, the son of Hillel, a Pirathonite, judged Israel. And he had 40 sons and 30 nephews that rode on 70 ass colts. And he judged Israel 8 years. And Abdon, the son of Hillel, the Pirathonite, died and was buried in Pirathon in the land of Ephraim in the mount of the Amalekites. May God add his blessing to the reading, to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so round two with Ephraim, it sounds like. They pulled this stunt, right? What stunt did they pull? Well, after the battle was over, you know, we used to have a saying on the job site, right? So you'd be working. You get something done, and as soon as you get something done, then the reinforcements arrive, and we would say something like this: "Oh, well, you showed up like a blister after all the work's done, right?" Isn't that when blisters rise? After all the work is completed, right? Yeah, so Ephraim, in the original account with Gideon, after the battle was done, here come the Ephraimites, and they say what? Hey, you didn't call us. That wasn't right. You should have called us first. And, of course, Gideon said to Ephraim, he answered them very kindly. And he said, oh, now wait a minute. Let's think about this a minute. You came late to the party, and there were two guys, Zeba and Zalmunna, and you chased them down. And you took care of those two great princes of the Midianites. They were great princes, and so really the gleaning of Ephraim is better than the whole harvest of Gideon. Okay, we like that. And so they left. They went home happy. Gideon answered them very kindly. All right, so now we have round two. Jephthah goes out and fights with Ammon and returns. Here comes Ephraim again and says, Hey, you didn't call us. And you know what? Because you didn't call us, we're going to burn your house with fire and have it crumble down on top of you. That wasn't right. Okay, they didn't learn their lesson the first time. The first time, they got off in the providence of the Lord with a kind answer and a warning, and they went home. The second time, however, when they brought up the same thing, the Lord's providence was not so kind to them, and so Jephthah rose up with all the men of Gilead, and they attacked Ephraim, and Ephraim fled before them, and Jephthah and his men set up at the crossings, at the fords of the Jordan, when they would be going back into their home after they had scattered all over Gilead. And so here they're trying to come back into the land of Ephraim, and there are only certain places they can go. It's called the passages of the Jordan. Think of it this way, the fords or the ferries of Jordan, right? Those places where it was shallow enough to cross, and Jephthah and his men, they just said, we'll set up here. And so here they come home, and the men of Ephraim are coming through, and they would say to them, now, are you from Ephraim or not? Oh, no. I'm not from Ephraim. Okay. Say Shibboleth then. Sure, I can do that. Shibboleth. No. Shibboleth. Yeah. Shibboleth. Say Shibboleth. No. He couldn't frame to pronounce it right because he had his Ephraimite accent. We know a little bit about that, don't we? And so we even see a little bit of this in the New Testament, don't we? Remember, they're warming themselves around the fire. Jesus is in the hall being accused, and they're warming themselves, you were with him, that Galilean, weren't you? Oh no, I wasn't with the Galilean. But your speech betrays you. We could hear that you're from Galilee, right? And so here the Ephraimites are given away. They're given away by their inability to speak like the rest of the nation, especially like Gilead. And so 42,000 men in toto fell that day before Jephthah and his men. And all because of why? What is Ephraim doing here? Remember that Ephraim at this point in Israel's history is vying for the supremacy of the rest of the tribes. How dare you go to battle with another nation and not call the best of the tribes? Why would you do that? Why would you cut off your arm in that way? Why wouldn't you give us an opportunity to exert our pride and influence over this battle? Later on, this comes to the fore, doesn't it? Where the northern kingdom is simply called Ephraim. And so because of that pride, and because of their self-seeking and threatening of God's obvious anointed man, the one that God has put in place, Jephthah, and them doing it twice and not learning the first time with that soft answer, then providentially the second time, the Lord brings upon them a great judgment. Well, there's a few sermons there, right? Let us learn the first time that we go forward in a particular sin and are convicted of it. Let us learn to forsake that sin and not go back to it. Because the second time we go back to it under the loving hand of our chastising Father will not be as pleasant as the first. At least all other things being considered. Right? Okay, so that's the first part of the chapter then. So we see a continued victory at the hands of Jephthah, the defeat of the Ephraimites. And then we have the death of Jephthah after judging Israel only 6 years, a very short tenure among most of the judges in the book of Judges. And then three men are mentioned in rapid fire, and each of them, it seems, had a very large and prosperous judgeship. Lots of sons and daughters, lots of ass colts, lots of resources, and relative peace throughout the bulk of their tenure. This speaks, I think, to the striking victory of Jephthah and the peace that it established long beyond that into the reigns of these other men. Let's see, what were their names? Really, they're not very notable at all. Elon and Abdon and Ibzan, those three men. And obviously commentators are very short when speaking about them, although every one of them is indeed forward to mention that it seems that they enjoyed a profitable and a peaceful reign, and that by the amount of sons and daughters and other possessions that they had. All right, thus ends our reading of Judges chapter 12. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms.